Invite you this morning to hear the words from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 3 through 7. Luke chapter 15, verses 3 through 7. So he told them this parable: which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, how many in here have ever been lost? What's it feel like when we're lost? Is it a good feeling? Really not a good feeling. Not sure what we're going to do next. And I got to tell a story on my brother Eric here. When we were doing a lot of trail running. Now he's a trusting person and trusted me a lot to lay out our running routes. And we're doing a trail run one day. And we had kind of agreed to run 5 miles, 6 miles, whatever. And I was going to say when to turn around and when to turn. Well, part of it is I kind of lost track of time and how far we had gone. The other part, I hadn't really looked at my watch. And then the other part, I felt like running a little bit farther. And what ended up happening is we kind of got out and realized we had run out about 8 or 9 miles. And we had to still turn around. And so that feeling that hit our heart then, well, Eric wasn't really happy. And I was really not happy with myself, because then I realized that we still had a long way to go to get back. And in some sense, we were lost. But I believe that it was on that same trail run. So things happen for a reason. On that same trail run, we run into a group of people that were really lost, that had no clue. They were hikers that were out there, and they had no clue where they were. And so when you think about that feeling of being lost, I mean, or misplaced, or realize that you have taken a wrong turn, and even if you know how to get back, sometimes that getting back is the hard part. Even if you really aren't fully lost, there's a lot of anxiety with it. There's a lot of unknown about what it's going to take. And as we see the scripture this morning, that's really what it speaks about how we can become lost, and what it takes to get back after we're lost. Now, whether it means being found, or whether it means being, it's going to take longer to get to where we want to go. So in the scripture this morning, we see that the shepherd left 99 sheep in order to save one. And you would say, well, why did in the world would he do that? He had 99 good sheep, 99 sheep that were found, 99 sheep that he had a responsibility for, but he left the 99 to go find that one. Now, he didn't abandon the 99. He left the 99 to go find that one. And so as we think of that, we might have those questions. I mean, you're thinking, well, you know what? I still have 99 over here that know where they're supposed to be. So I've only lost one. That's what, 1%? That's not bad. So what's the big deal with sheep? Well, as we realize in the scripture, we're not talking about sheep. We're talking about people. We're talking about children of God that have been lost that need to be found. So if I were to rephrase that and say, well, you've got 10 kids and one of your kids runs away, are you going to say, well, I've only lost one out of 10. That's not bad. And so I've done really good. I've got a 90% success here, so I'm not worried about the one kid I've lost. Will we do that? Or will we not look for that one kid, that one child that we love with our whole heart? And that's what we're seeing, is that the lost are equally important as those that are safe. Because the lost become vulnerable, they're in danger, they can become a target of all the ills the society has to offer. And they don't have that safety in numbers that they would typically have being part of that bigger group. So what we see in the Word this morning is that our God places equal value, a very high value, on every person. It doesn't matter if it's the 99 or the one. It doesn't matter if it's all the people here in the churches or all the churches today. What his concern is he knows where we are. He knows where we are. But he knows that out there today, there are people that are lost. There are people that don't understand what it means to have a relationship with God. There are people out there today that don't understand or don't experience that safety net, that comfort, that peace, that wholeness that comes through a fulfilling relationship with Jesus Christ. And he is happy with those that are here today, those that are righteous, those that understand the need to be in church. But what he also is searching for are those that are lost, because he wants the flock to be complete. He doesn't want a single lost person in the world out there to be in a state of vulnerability or to be in danger as they try to go it alone. He wants to help those, much like the story that I shared. Those that realize they're lost or realize that it's going to take a long way to get back, he wants to help those people. He wants to help get them to that point. So I think we understand a big part of what that scripture is saying about how we're supposed to bring people back home into a right relationship. We know what it means to be lost. You see, the lost, they can be those that are separated from God because of their own doings. It could be those that do not seek God. They don't come to church. Maybe they've never been in church. Or if they've been to church, maybe they didn't come along, or they just kind of trickled off after they started coming. The lost can also be those that are tempted by Satan with trickery, in addictions, or through relationships. And it could be that person who really has good intentions but takes a wrong turn and ends up going in the wrong direction. You see, when we think about those people that are lost, those are the people that Jesus is talking about in the scripture today. Those that were originally part of this body of Christ. You think about it, as Methodists, what we focus on is a prevenient grace, a justifying grace, and a sanctification or a sanctifying grace. And that prevenient grace means that we're all born with the grace of God. We're all born created by God, created in God's image. But sometimes in the world, people fall victim to the world and end up getting lost. And that's what Jesus is saying, is that one that is lost, those that are lost, must be found. You know, God shows his love to every one of us. He lets us make our own decisions. He gives us free will. But one of the problems that we have is that sometimes we use that free will inappropriately. We make bad decisions. I don't think there's a single person sitting in here that has always made the perfect decision. We've all made mistakes. We've all made bad decisions. And one of our greatest sins is that we fail to recognize our own sin in those places where we've made mistakes. We just keep going and building on it. And that's how we eventually get to that point that we feel separated or lost. Each one of us have either been that person or heard a person who talked of becoming lost or getting in trouble. Maybe they strayed from the church, or maybe they were really never committed to the church, or maybe they just got lazy. So we might say, as we sit here, why do we want to waste our time on them? Why do we want to waste our time on those that don't go to church? Now understand, when I'm saying going to church, I'm saying a relationship with God. Because this is, brothers and sisters, this is not the church. This is not the church. The church is the body of Christ together, serving, loving God, doing the right things, reaching out and helping people. I would say that in some churches, this is exactly where you would find the lost. Now, I'm not saying that here, but I'm saying that in some places, I mean, there are churches that people show up on Sunday and they go back home and they never mention the church, or do anything else, or open their Bibles, or serve people or love people. And you would have a hard time believing that there are those people called Christians. So I'm not saying as we go to church and why people aren't at church, I'm not saying that it's the physical building. Church is that relationship with Jesus Christ. Church is how you choose to use the Word of God, share the Word of God, to live out the Word of God. So coming back to my other statement, I want to say there are those places we say, why would we waste our time on? If people don't want to be in that relationship with Jesus Christ, why do we want to waste our time on them? They've had their chance. They made their mistakes. So why waste our time? Maybe that person who got into trouble or broke the law, well, they made that decision. We didn't make them do it. We didn't make them do it, you know? So that's not our fault. But what we have to remember is that Jesus Christ, our Savior, loves them right where they are. He loves them and He wants them back. The sin that we have here is that in that situation is judging people. Judging, well, you know what? We're not going to waste our time on them. We're not going to share love with them because they've given up on God, so we're going to give up on them. But God never gives up. God never gives up on the lost, so why should we? We heard the music, the beautiful music the choir shared this morning, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. You see, we serve a seeking shepherd. Our Lord will search to no end for the lost. And He has commissioned each one of you who sit here to be part of that search team. You see, there are many people in this world that hurt. There are many people who think that their sin is too great to be overcome. They think that they've got so far over here with their mistakes that there is no way that God will ever love them again. There are many who feel so hopeless and despair that their situation is too bad that it will never get any better. And there are people out there that believe that the Lord has written them off. But that's not true. No sin is too great. God never writes anybody off. God wants to find the lost. Just like Jesus said, the shepherd would go out and find that one person, even though he's got 99 over here. Isaiah 1, 18 through 20 says, no matter how deep the stain of your sin, I can remove it. And I can make you clean as freshly fallen snow. If you keep turning away and refusing to listen, then you will be destroyed. So the lost are vulnerable. And those who continue to turn away are vulnerable. They're in danger of being destroyed by the world around them. But God, no matter how deep your sin, no matter what you've done, where you've made your mistakes, God can make that better. He loves people right where they are. And we know that in Romans 8, we know that nothing separates us from the love of God. Not powers, not principalities, not life, not death. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And it's never too late to seek the Lord. Never too late. Just think about the criminal on the cross beside Jesus on the day that he died. And Jesus looked at him and said, today you will be with me in paradise. You see, what Jesus desires from us is obedience and a commitment and a change. He doesn't seek us out to administer harsh punishment. And He doesn't seek us out to look us dead in the face and said, I told you so. If you think about it, on the cross that day when Jesus died and the whole world was against Him and that criminal was there and that criminal knows what's getting ready to happen, it would have been easy for Jesus to look over at him and say, I told you so. What's what that sin was going to get you. And now look at you. Now you're going to pay. But He didn't. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. This morning we read the words of the 51st Psalm. And some would say that that's about a relationship or a heart of pain, a heart of hurt, heart of anguish after David had been disobedient and sinned and had his adulterous affair with Bathsheba. I mean, and a whole lot of things happened there. We know that story. But as you read that, and I invite you to read it and spend some time with that this week. As you read that, you can detect an anguish in that voice that the Scripture is written about what it means to be separated from God. You detect an anguish, an anxiety about being lost. I don't think that I could describe being lost any better than the pain that is reflected through reading the 51st Psalm. And then acknowledging that I have messed up. And my only hope is a hope in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, our God is a God of love. He welcomes the righteous with love. And He welcomes the sinner with love. He welcomes the righteous with love and He welcomes the sinner with love. It is easy for us to understand a God who forgives people who come to Him and say that I'm sorry. just like it's easy for us. If I come up to you and say, hey, I know I've made a mistake, I'm sorry. Well, that's a little bit easier to forgive rather than me continuing to do things my own way and failing to acknowledge it. So it's easy for us to understand a God who forgives those who come to Him and say, I'm sorry. But it's amazing for us to see that we serve a God who searches for sinners, finds them, and forgives them joyfully. This is that love that Jesus came to earth, brought to earth. He came to search. He came to save, and He came to die for our sin. That's an extraordinary, unconditional love. Therefore, not a single one of us should worry or feel far from God because He's looking for us. He wants to find those that have made mistakes so that He can forgive. And He wants to find them so He can deliver. And He wants to find them so that He can love. The lost have got to be found. We're commissioned to find those lost in the Great Commission, Matthew 18:19-20, to make disciples that all would be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So our search for them must be vigilant. And as we search, we must ask where the sinners, where the lost can be found. And that it's not hard work if we really understand what it means in the most simple sense. Making disciples means that we simply expose people to the Word of God, that they may enjoy that same relationship that we have. Exposing them to the Word of God by being kind to them, not beating them over the head with the Bible or preaching to them. Exposing them to the Word of God by loving them. Exposing them to the Word of God by living a right life that they can see an example for which to follow. That's what it means to be in discipleship, trying to make disciples. And the lost also, well, they've got to be ready to be found. And a person can stay hidden for a very long time. So just to warn you, as you go about your commission to make disciples, you're going to plant a lot of seeds. You're going to make a lot of contacts. And there's a lot of times that you're going to think that you're unsuccessful. But you're not, because you're planting seeds. You're planting seeds that will be harvested at a later point. God is going to be there to lift those people up who stumble. But they've got to be ready to receive His grace. And a person cannot receive what they will not accept. But God wants to use us to share His grace with other people. And we as a body of Christ, we as a church, we as Christians, we must have one hand on God and one hand reaching out for the lost. And on that day, when it happens that we're responsible for getting one person into heaven, what a joyful and glorious day that will be. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.